What's happening?
What's happening?
Not much.
Okay, let's see here.
You're all sweaty. Or you're applying makeup.
No, I shaved and cut myself.
Oh, damn.
It's on this side.
Bloody episode. Good thing we're wearing our red shirts. What's that? First time shaving this week?
No. I shave like every other day.
There's Eddie the man.
Oh, shit.
Steve's pumping up.
All right.
Is that your M25 show red shirt or what?
No, just a red shirt. I didn't have time to dress up. I was going to. I was shaving, getting ready, and then I cut myself, and then I played the song.
Show Eddie your wound.
You know when you're looking on the camera, it's the wrong side.
Yeah.
It's this side. All right.
Electric razors.
Nah, I tried that shit. It don't work anymore.
Steve has the really cheap razor from a 99 cent store.
Pack of 10 for a dollar?
Yep.
Steve has, you know, those travel razors, and he uses one a year.
It's only got one blade on it.
go to the street razor. How about that?
You go to the 99 cent store and go to the used bin. Get Steve, 20 for a dollar.
Buy them cheap off eBay.
They're soaking in alcohol.
Yeah, as long as they're sanitized.
That's right.
Well, what is the correct term? Not decontaminated, sterilized. There we go.
Yeah, they got some nicks and cuts in it from people using it. Probably legs and hair, and chest, and ass.
You know, somebody gets the sharpening rock and just sharpens it up again. There you go. You're freezing up, by the way.
Oh God, already?
Yep. Stop stretching. I think that messes up.
Okay. Just don't move.
Yeah. Just move your mouth.
Just move my eyeballs. All right.
All right. Welcome back to the M25 show. My name's Albert.
My name is Eddie.
And I'm Steve. And here we are.
Good morning. Good morning, y'all.
Back again.
Back in the saddle.
Just want to give an update. Alyssa's a little under the weather. In case anybody wants to send her
well wishes.
Any well wishes, Eddie?
Get well soon, Alyssa.
Send her a bouquet of flowers.
Whatever you're going through. I hope it ends quick.
If it ends quick.
Damn.
She's not on life support or nothing, Eddie. What's the matter with you?
Man, you thought I was rude earlier with my medical diagnosis.
Yeah, there's something going around, so whatever it is, I hope she gets over it.
I think that was more rude. Oh, God. Let's see.
Talking to Mike.
Yes, I know. There's always something. You know what bothers me most is there's a bunch of people on the streets.
Okay, homeless?
What's wrong with that?
No, not that. I'm talking people in cars driving around.
Okay.
Okay, you go in prime time, I get it, you know. But man, every hour of the day, you go out like at 10 o'clock. It's like, man, doesn't anybody work?
Yeah, they're driving to work.
I'm driving to work at 10 o'clock at night.
10 at night, 10 in the morning. It doesn't matter what time you're driving around, and there's people everywhere.
Just people everywhere.
No, I'm sorry, Steve. You don't own the street.
No, but you know what? I should.
Well, maybe
one day. Someone's always going somewhere.
I just don't get it. I just don't get it.
That's why they're 24-hour places. Cause...
And then the same with the... oh, man, no, it's working.
Oh, brother.
There we go. And then the same with... you know, have you ever noticed if you go to the hospital, I mean, whether you're going to get some kind of procedure or you're going to visit somebody, man, it's always packed at the hospitals. Okay. Whatever hospital you go to, you'd think everybody in the world is sick.
Not everybody in the world, just the people that are there.
Well, I know, but have you ever been to a hospital? It's big.
Yeah, we're talking huge.
Yeah, huge. You're talking university style.
They got maternity wards. They got psychiatric wards.
People being born, people dying in the building.
I don't care if they got racquetball courts.
And everything in between.
They probably do have racquetball courts somewhere. Down in the basement or something.
And then some places charge you to park.
That's right.
Some don't, but some do. And you're like, man, if it's not bad enough, you're going to see somebody who's dying, and now you got to pay to go see them? Unless you walk.
Get charged for everything.
Just park down the street, remember?
Yeah, you see, you got to go through all this and go, okay, well, I got to go see my dying so-and-so. Okay, I'm going to go park over here off of 1st and 2nd, so I'm going to walk over here, and I'll get to him in time or her. And then, you know, you're walking. By the time you get there, they just pass.
You have to walk 5 miles to get to them?
Well, it's just the fact of it's a hospital where sick people are. I mean, you know, I know, you know.
Yeah, they shouldn't charge you to park.
I mean, they charge us for everything else in the world. Yep. And I get it. They're helping you, and things cost money. But, man, heavy. I have a saying in my family, when things are just outrageous, we say, that's heavy.
It's heavy. But you know, you go stay at a hotel, they charge you to park.
Really?
Yeah, you go to Vegas, they charge you a resort fee.
What about Motel 6?
I haven't been to Motel 6 in a long time.
But you know what? Those are expensive, huh?
Well, they're not $6 anymore.
They're not six.
$6? Yeah,
$39.99.
Yeah, $6. What motels were you going to?
Wasn't that the thing? They were $6 a night after the Motel 6?
No. That was a Roach Motel, Alberta.
Yeah, that was in the grocery aisle at aisle 10. That was the wrong motel you're talking about. $6. Damn. I wish I knew that one. I was
Or maybe
younger.
Back in the days, I guess. There were $6 way back.
Yeah, like 1912. Or 1950 or something.
When they leave the light on for you.
Or they had to turn it
off. $6? Holy mackerel. I unbelievable. Very unbelievable, Eddie.
Everything is so expensive.
Yeah, it's like, I can tell you, driving, it doesn't matter what time of the day.
Mm-hmm.
You think, okay, you're going to go at a certain time to go out because, you know, there's certain times you don't go, like, you know, rush hour.
Mm-hmm.
What is that, like 4 or 5 o'clock, right?
Between 4 and 6.
Yeah. You know, people get out of work, and then the morning, it's what, 7, 8? Yeah, we'll push it to 9. We'll even push it to 9, but usually it's like 6, 7, and 8. People go into work. Right. Man, you go to 11 a.m., noon, there's people all over the place.
Yep.
And I'm like, oh, my God. And it takes me back to that Twilight Zone episode I wish I was in with Burgess Meredith. Remember when he goes into the, what is it? He goes into the safe. He wants to read. What is he doing?
He reads. And then everybody hates him and gives him a hard time. His wife, you know, hates him.
Yes.
So he goes into the safe on his lunch. He works at the bank. And he goes down to the safe and he starts reading this book. And all of a sudden, nuclear war breaks out. And he's down there and he's safe. So he comes out and everything's destroyed. Everybody's dead.
Everybody's gone. It's just
you
him.
Know, the saddest part about the episode, you know, his wife is such a bitch to him. And he goes back to the house and he's sad that she's dead. I'm like, why the fuck are you sad? I mean, I'd be happy she was gone.
Hey. No, I'm taking a whole turn on this topic.
But see, for Steve, it wouldn't be the library. It'd be the local porn store.
Oh, here we go.
that's the only thing that survived. And then Steve breaks his glasses.
It's just it's the fact that, you know, it's like, man, I get it. Hey, people are people, and I get it. But, man, and it take me back to the hospitals, you know. Somebody was in the hospital, right? And I went to say, man, it's packed. It's the hugest hospital I've ever seen. And it's like, could fill a whole stadium.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, man, it makes you, you know, think of, there's a lot of sick people out there.
There's a lot of sick people. Man. Back to the driving. Just be happy you don't have to drive on the freeway, Steve, to get to work.
Well, sometimes I got to drive the freeway to go other places. You know, I just don't go to work back and forth, Eddie. Sometimes I like to go somewhere.
No. I get it. But just imagine if you had to drive daily to work on the freeway and back.
No, I don't do that. I don't.
I'm
do
just
that,
saying, Eddie. If you did, just thank God you don't.
I wouldn't. I would fly, Eddie.
You're afraid of flying.
Well, no. If I can only fly like 10 minutes, I'll do that. You know, and it'd be over. You know, land. It'd be real low.
Put on
not
your jetpack.
Over water. For jetpack. Oh my gosh. Anyway, hey, I'm just a little. I had to get that. I had to vent about that, people. I can't even go to the store.
Yeah, you can go anywhere you want. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
but you're not.
I just want to run real quick to the store and pick something up.
Yeah, you're not the only one. Sorry, man. Welcome to Earth.
Yeah,
you got,
I know.
You got to share the planet. Okay, so shut up.
I saw that. And that's. Okay. I know.
And now I want to vent. I want to vent too. From Motel6.com, the original price of a night's stay at Motel 6 was just $6, and thus established the brand name in 1962.
Oh. Yeah, 62.
Okay, Alberto, when are we going to go back to 1960?
But I was right. It was $6 once.
Wait, no, you didn't say once. You didn't say once.
I said
I like how he
$6.
Adds, don't add
okay,
grammar
we'll,
in there.
We'll play back the show.
Yeah, we'll play it back on him.
Yeah,
you didn't say nothing. It was once.
I'll send you the clip, just like the vomiting clip, and you can bury it. Okay.
No, because remember I told you, I go, when was it $6? Like 1918?
We'll throw the challenge flag right now.
Because we were talking about when we remember, it was $29.99.
Eddie's getting scared.
We'll throw the challenge flag.
I said it wasn't a $6. That's why it's called Motel 6.
Well.
That makes sense. 1960.
Okay.
Makes sense.
We weren't even around then.
Once upon a time, it was $6.
Okay, yes. I'm sure it was. I bet you it would have been cheaper if they invented it earlier.
Motel 2.
Motel 3?
Okay, guys. You guys are funny, huh?
Okay. Here, you know what? While we go to the guests, I'll find out what the inflation rate is now.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, you know, sometimes when you're driving on the freeway, which I hate because everybody in the world's on the freeway, here we go again with all the people. You go. I remember you used to see the sign. It was what was it, Eddie? It was $29 or $19. Was it $19 or $29.99?
All right, wait.
I think it was $29.99.
Oh,
I think it was
$29.99.
Motel 6. Eddie, we're doing a show. Can you be a little professional? We have
they're confirming
coming up.
They're confirming Eddie's reservation for tonight.
I forgot.
Eddie, a party of 16. For one room. Split it 16 ways.
Bring the sleeping bags.
Yeah, I think it's like $70 now.
Probably.
$70.
Girl,
and,
go stay at the Hilton.
And then the cleaning, you get a cleaning maid.
I stayed at a Best Western. It was $164 for one night.
I'm going to get upset. Let's just get to our guest. I don't want to talk about inflation. I don't want to talk about people.
$61.13 today.
Okay, that's about right.
That's not bad.
For Motel 6?
Yeah, that's not bad.
You don't even get running water, Eddie, or flushing toilets. Well, what do you mean that's okay?
No, the water is running. You just can't stop it from running.
Yeah, but it's like it's rusty color. Is that okay?
Yeah, some minerals.
Oh, no. It looks like bronze water. I don't know. Is that good for you or what? The bronze mineral? Okay, look at our guest.
That's iron.
We better get her out here before she runs out of here going, what am I doing here? Oh, man. I do like certain people, like our guest coming on, that I like a lot. Good music. Eddie, you know what? You need to really get on some kind of social media besides your TikTok. Mm-hmm. Where you just watch boobs, you know, you need to get on regular to watch the show that we post our guest coming up, and you can kind of do your studies, you know, on the guest. And the guest is actually from a town that we know, Whittier.
How do you know that?
I didn't know that until it's an interesting story, but let's get
downtown East Whittier.
I don't know, Eddie. I didn't dig that deep.
She's from the nice part, not your land.
Oh, yeah, it's probably nice. Not the part you live in, Eddie. Okay, let's get our guest. Musician Jay Wren. Oh, boy, look at Jay. What is this? Hello?
I don't know.
Please, run camera hub. Alberto, what is this? What? Can you?
I don't know what
Ogato. Let's blow it up here. Please run camera hub to use...
All right, that's a little better.
Oh, there we go.
There she is.
That's the first time we've seen that. Well, you know what it was? Is because we sent it through Instagram this time, Alberto and Eddie. We usually we email it, or guests do it on the cell phone. But I'm glad that Jay did it on her laptop, because we get the full screen. A lot of people come on with their cell phones, and it's cropped, and I'm like, oh, can you twist the phone sideways, or can you?
So then it's falling over.
That exactly. Could be something to tell them before they come on, but you know, Steve doesn't want to do the work.
I did. I talked to Jay, and then didn't we have a discussion about, hey, we did. There we go.
Well, first time for everything.
When you had to attack me, we have a guest on. Everybody needs to be on best behavior, okay? Jay Rand is from a town that we know, and it was an interesting story. But anyway, I heard your music and I liked it, and I was like, you know what? I'm gonna message this girl. I really like her sound, and you know, sometimes when you just message people out of the blue like that, you never know if you're gonna get through. Because the inbox messengers, they're I don't know what goes on with them on social media, but sometimes they don't even go through, or people have a lot of messages. And she got our message, and I talked to her, and she was nice enough to come on our show and share her musical talent and IQ with us. And we're very happy to have you on, Jay.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
And do you want to tell people where you're from, or do you want to keep that on the DL?
I think you outed her already.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Whittier.
Right. I outed her already. That's right. But you know what?
I got your signed vinyl right here, which I'm going to drop off at some point for you, Steve.
Yes.
And that's kind of how we found out that we were like neighbors, basically.
Yeah, you know what? I'm gonna let Jay tell that story before we get into questions about your music, how it came about. We knew where we were in Whittier together.
Yeah, so I asked what your shipping address was. You know, send your record. And I won't disclose where you live. But then I was like, oh, yeah, I live off of Kalina. And you were like, oh, wow. So
yes, it was right around the corner.
Sums it up. Short story.
I asked for if I can get a signed copy of one of a CD or record, right? And I gave her my address. She said, I live right around the corner. And I was like, what? So she was going to drop it off, but I had plans last night, and I was like, oh, my God, I could have got to meet her last night, but I had plans. Uh-huh. And anyway, that's how I found out she's from Whittier. And I didn't even think that the promos we ran, she was in the front of a record store that's in Uptown Whittier.
Mm-hmm.
Like, there's a lot of record stores around, right? Mm-hmm. So I should have noticed that right away. But Jay, tell us a little bit about yourself and... is Jay Rand, is that the name of I know that's you, right?
Mm-hmm. So, yes, so it's short for Jamie Aaron.
Jamie Aaron, yeah. Okay, cool.
Mm-hmm. My first and middle name, and I kind of, you know, sandwiched them together in one. I've been living in Nashville for the last 10 years, but I am a Whittier homie. And I've been out this way for the past couple months, just kind of doing some local gigs, bouncing around bars and girls and restaurants and stuff like that. And going down to like jams and stuff, and kind of LA Hollywood has been a fun new adventure to kind of experience that scene. A couple weeks ago, a couple of songs from the record were on KLOS, so that was exciting. I just started doing music full time last June. I mean, I've always been doing music, but that was when I like made the leap to, you know, quit all the jobs and just, you know, take my guitar on the road and jump into the adventure. And that's kind of what this album was. You know, it was a big leap of faith where I had all these songs I'd been sitting on for years. And I, April of this year, I went, okay, no more waiting. I'm just going to jump in the studio and record all these. And the artwork on the record is based off of the representation of like the Fool tarot card. Which is a card which symbolizes adventure and going into the unknown, you know, even if you don't know where it's going to lead. I don't know, with the glare, if you could see kind of the picture.
That thing behind you, is that like a portal? What is that?
Oh, yes. Yeah, that's my personal portal. No. What thing behind me?
No, on your record. That's you on the record, right?
Oh, yeah, so my sister actually designed like the backdrop of the artwork. My friend took the photo, and then she like drew the bridge, and it's kind of like a sun. But I really like that you can't exactly tell if I'm walking out of the light or into the light. Leaves you hanging for the next record. But no, it's kind of a Americana rock project. Like there's folk roots, blues roots, some alternative edge on some of the tunes as well. So it was a fun thing to put together. Jumped in the studio with some friends and released it end of September. So it's pretty new and fresh.
Yes, I really love the album. Eddie, I'm going to hand it over to you. You got a question for Jay?
Mm-hmm. How long, when did you start playing the guitar, and how was the transition from California to Nashville?
Oh, wow. So my dad, Jimmy Becker, he's a local musician, and I just grew up with a lot of music around the house. I first fell in love with music at like age 7, and I started playing drums, and that was like my first love. But then as I started to like sing more, and like my dad had his guitars kind of laying around, my sister picked up guitar and kind of showed me a few things. It wasn't before long that I kind of grew a love for guitar, because it was like percussive, but also told me to like, you know, cover all the songs that I loved.
Mm-hmm.
But I started playing coffee shops when I was like maybe 11 years old. And I mean, I wasn't very good. It was more of like, oh, how sweet, look at her try. And, but it wasn't before long that I realized it was my passion. And by high school, I was playing in a couple bands, doing open mic nights. My dad and I grouped together and we started playing like fairs in California. And I was involved in like a 70s tribute show that started playing some casinos when I was like a sophomore, junior in high school. Mm-hmm. And it was at that point when some of the members of that group were like, hey, you know, I don't know if you thought about doing this like professionally, but if so, we'd really recommend like moving out to Nashville. Kind of, there was like a music program they recommended that I ended up going to at Belmont University. And there was this like, I guess, kind of history. I mean, like there were definitely like some interesting twists and turns along the way. I got married, got divorced, and relationship, it kind of, you know, I can't really blame the relationship. I blame like myself more for not like prioritizing music more. But once I was out of that, I was kind of like, you know, now's the time. Like now's the time, nothing's holding me back. I'm just gonna dive deep into going into music.
Interesting, mm-hmm. Eddie. Some man lost her? Holy
man. Yeah.
What in the world?
Shame on him, huh?
I know, huh? But hold on, Eddie. I got to ask. Was it a mutual coolness thing when it
Oh no, it ended like a complete country song.
Okay. Well, was it an emotional cry, or was it hell's on wheel?
There were definitely issues for a while, and I think unfortunately it took me to kind of like a mental, emotional kind of rock bottom of like depression and like just complete lostness. The country song part of that, I mean, I won't shy away from my imperfections, but you know, I fell for somebody else, and that was like a very telltale sign of, okay, this is not working. Oh yeah, here we go. I told you it was a country song. I warned you. I did warn you. Okay. So as you can imagine, there were a lot of.
Is there a song? Is this song out there so I can go find it?
Oh, there's all sorts of songs about this train wreck of humanity. I'm trying to think of like specifically.
You don't have to.
Songs on the record. There's one that's quite personal to me. Well, a couple actually. So, okay. Wanted is one of those, and the hook line is Wanted and Damned. And yet, especially when you go into romance at like a young age, it's easy to go into it because of how it makes you feel. Like, and it's like, oh, this boosts my ego. It makes me feel loved. But there's also a point where like people can show you a lot of affection, but maybe the motives are, you know, to own you or to possess you, or like they also like that control of you. And the original lyric kind of was inspired. I had a friend going through like an abusive dating situation that was very bad, like just lot of yelling, a lot of putting each other down. And that was kind of what inspired the song. But it's funny, after like writing it, I realized there were little nuggets about that I kind of related to in my own relationship, you know, about like the second verse is like, too young when you found me, told me I could be your reward, but I don't want to be anyone's trophy or your lover when you are bored. And it's just like, I think for me, that was like a big personal or like realization is like going into something young and kind of naive and not wanting to just be someone's kind of token for entertainment, but valuing like a deeper connection with someone.
Is it about?
But I don't know. With every, kind of started off as kind of a country ballad. On the record version, it drives a little bit more. I think has a little bit more of a raw, kind of broke edge, as well in like the vocal performance. I wanted it to. I really wanted the emotion of the lyric to come out in how I sang it, which it has its kind of broken cry moments.
Damn, I feel like I'm in the relationship with you already.
Oh, holy shoot.
Hey, Alberto.
Sorry to hear that.
Alberto. I was talking to Alberto about we were going to try to, maybe that's a song you can try to play a little of for us. And Alberto, what do you think? We're going to give it a shot. He thinks that, because sometimes we've had people on that play the, you know, the electric, the whole setup. And and sometimes with this live stream, it you know, it cuts off and does this and that. And luckily, maybe with an acoustic, we could, because I'd hate to miss out with you playing something. So, and we're going to give it a try. Maybe, is that a cool song that you would like to play? It sounds like one of your favorites.
Sure. Okay, yeah.
Let me hand it over to Eddie, because I cut Eddie off. I know you had another question, Eddie. Sorry about that.
Yes. So do you write your own music? And who are some of your favorite female country singers?
Oh, okay. So yes, I write my own music. There are a few songs that I co-wrote on the record. But as far as favorite female vocalists, I mean, I love me some Janis Joplin, Nora Jones, Jewel, Linda Ronstadt, Chrissy Hind, Blondie, whole mix of just, I love singers who are, don't shy away from emotion when they sing, and very expressive. And for me personally, when I sing, I try to play with all the different colors, like whether it's like a whisper or like a big, you know, like we're digging in, we're gonna growl, we're gonna scream, we're gonna, yeah, all the stuff.
Okay.
Now, Eddie, she's got, I love the, you got a little bit of a rasp voice, and I like it. It's sexy. Eddie, did you tech that, Eddie? You.
Yes.
Yes, I like I it. Did. And all the singers that you mentioned, very, very great, beautiful singers. Awesome people to look up to, I guess you can say, right?
Right.
And it is true. Now that I see Jay on the screen, what is that saying, Alberto, about girls in Whittier?
That they're prettier?
Girls in prettier? Is that how they say it?
Whittier with the girls are prettier.
Yeah, there we go. I always heard it all the time, but now I could put a stamp on it that it's true now that we have Jay on here. And Jay is going to sing us something.
What
that,
happens when I go back to Nashville?
Oh, man, that's all. Whittier's going to go to hell. No,
she'll take a bit of Whittier with her, a piece of Whittier with her.
She's going to take a piece. Yeah, there you go. There's a song right there. Take a piece of Whittier with her. Instead of taking a piece of my heart, take a piece of Whittier with her.
Okay, are you all going to come with me?
Oh, gosh. Hold on. Can I bring my dog with me?
Yes, of course.
Okay, I'm going with Jay. Okay, so Jay, you're going to sing this song that we were talking about, correct?
Sure, yeah.
And it's... oh, well, that sounds good. And it's called Welcome.
Can you hear my voice okay? Oh, Wanted.
Oh, Wanted. Eddie, it's called Wanted.
Wanted.
The following is the album version of Wanted.
Yeah. behind prison bars, no shortage of scars for eternity. You tell me I'm wounded behind your shiny gold star and your pistol in hand. You sure make me feel wanted. Scars for eternity. You tell me I'm wanted behind your shiny gold star and your pistol in hand. You sure make me feel wanted.
Get out my whiskey.
Get out the whiskey for that whiskey wreck.
Where's our whiskey this morning?
I know, right? Very cool. I love it. I've been listening to your songs on your record, and I really like it. You have a good sound, and you got some rockers on there. You got some mellow songs. It's really cool. Nice mixture. And, you know, I don't catch on to too many people who pull me in, and but I really like your stuff. Like I told you, I bought your record on stream. That's how you do it now, Eddie. You gotta buy them on stream.
And buy them on stream.
You know, but what happened to the old days, right? But
Apple Music.
Apple. Hey, you can buy it anywhere.
Still vinyl. Yeah.
Yes.
We got vinyl. It sounds even better vinyl, I'll tell you that.
I'm sure it does. I thought that was cool. You know, it's always cool to see vinyl or even CDs. I mean, it's just like, mm-hmm. where's everything going, you know? And I get it, you know, it's easier for people. But it's nice to have the hard copy and,
yeah,
you know, that retro cool mm-hmm. feeling. But Eddie, I'm going to pass it over to you. You got another question for Jay?
I'm curious about your Coffee and Honey song. I can't wait to listen to it.
Coffee
yeah, and that's the second song on the album. I'll tell you that. Mm-hmm. That's the saucy one.
Yeah, it piqued my interest, so... As soon as we get off, I'll listen to it.
Wait a minute, Eddie. Are you looking at the track listing?
Yes,
I'm looking. Oh, good job, Eddie. Yeah. We never applaud Eddie, but Eddie's doing homework. Good job.
Jalen, is there anybody that you would like to see in person perform that besides, you haven't yet?
Besides me.
Okay. Oh. Oh yeah, I definitely want to see y'all perform. Let me think. I mean, there's a bunch. There's like a huge list of people I want to go see. Trying to think of who, because the other part of that is who I haven't seen. And live shows is what I usually spend all my money on. Like, oh goodness, dude. Oh, you know what? I really want to see Nicole Atkins.
Nicole Atkins.
She is a phenomenal kind of Americana retro singer songwriter. And I compare her almost like to like a modern day Linda Ronstadt. She has just a very warm, rich quality to her voice that's very expressive. There's actually one of her songs that's called A Little Crazy. That's about actually the process of like moving on from a relationship. And that song's probably one of my most listened to songs over the last year. And boy, some good lyricism there, so I would love to see her.
Okay. Nice. Alberto, have you run into anyone famous in Nashville?
Oh, yeah. So probably the coolest thing I've done is back in college, I sang with the choir and got invited to sing backup with the Rolling Stones, and oh, wow. So that was like amazing, dream come true, I can die now moment.
Oh wow! Bet you didn't know that, Misty.
No, that's my favorite band.
Oh, same. I grew up with it, and
so you sang choir. So I bet you was it? You can't always get what you want.
It was. Yep. So we were brought up for the encore.
That's right.
And it was a good time.
That's so cool. Man, look at this, Eddie. See, I know talent when I see it, Eddie. You see, I know these things. That is so cool. Yeah, Alberto, how do you feel about the song, the train wreck song?
Sounds good.
You know, you know, those are good. Sometimes you need that. You know, you need to hear those things because when people write those songs, it comes from the heart, and it comes from the heart. It's a real thing. Mm-hmm. That some people don't realize that. You know, some people do, but some people don't. Mm-hmm. You know, they just hear a song, go, hey, that's a cool song, but you know, they have meaning. Somebody wrote it. You know, it's probably from something that happened to them, or they know somebody that it happened to.
It's usually something personal.
Yeah. And if it happened to you, then you're really, then you like Eddie, you get the whiskey out and then you sit down and you have a moment, maybe shed a tear or two, and then you move on.
Then you move on.
You know, and you can thank Jay Rin for that.
And it's so true. We got to feel those feelings when they come, because otherwise I'm a big believer that if you don't take time to feel those emotions, they'll sneak up in other ways. And another song of the record, Can't Escape Sorrow, is about exactly that. Yeah, so you need a good cry. I'm a big fan of a good cry. It's important.
Alberto, you got any questions for Jay?
Nope, Eddie covered them all.
Eddie covered them all? Oh, wow, look at that. Look at Eddie covering all out. Eddie, you know what? I'll give you one more before I do my serenade song for Jay.
Okay. Jay, did the guy that let you get it, were you guys high school sweethearts?
No, we were like college sweethearts that we met freshman year. Yeah.
Well, his loss, right?
So, okay, let me piggyback off of Eddie's question. Was it due to pursuing music, or was it just a relationship thing that just didn't work? If you don't mind me asking.
Well, I told you it was a saucy story. We had issues for a while where we basically just coexisted as roommates, and there were a lot of things mm-hmm. that were brought up. I didn't feel very, you know, I didn't really feel like I was in a relationship just by default, because of the nature of how things were at home. This is where it's like very Nashville, get ready. He joined a band, and I fell for someone in his band. Is that not terrible? I know, it's really bad. It inspired a lot of songs, but yeah, it wasn't.
She's a true rock and roller.
But, yes, there's that. But you know, if anything, it led to a lot of conversations. You know, I kind of told him, I gave him a heads up. I was like, listen, like, my heart is falling in places it shouldn't be falling, and it's showing me that we got some issues. And he's like, well, I understand it. Like, you guys really get along. Like, that's cool. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
What? Fight for me.
Yeah.
Just like that, huh? So the guy in the band. Did the guy in the band that you're talking about, did that get something going for a little bit, or was it just a summer?
For a very short while, but he had a whole list of ladies he was seeing in rock and roll fashion as well. So,
man, I got to get in that rock and roll life, Eddie. I got to get in that thing, dude. I love that style.
Oh my god!
Hey, you know, I get it. You know, sometimes hearts hurt and stuff, but you know, that's life. You know, that's how it's life. You know.
Yep.
Sometimes people do it on purpose to hurt people, the story, but sometimes it just happens. Yeah. You know, if you fall for somebody, you can't help that. It's a feeling. That's it. You can't say, oh, stop it. Stop it in there inside you. Stop it. It just happens.
I tried. I was like, stop it. Big emotional tornado inside, as you can imagine.
Stop it. I think that's a new thing. That's a new song right there for Jay. Called Stop It.
Stop It.
No, but I think that's really cool, you know, being honest about everything. And it's you know, people can latch on to stuff like that. That you know, everybody likes to talk about their lives, and you know, some people do. And when people do, I find that there's people out there that have been through the same thing or are going through the same thing, and they want to hear. They may not say, hey, mm-hmm. keep talking about it, but they'll listen and they're like, hey, I wonder what she did. Did she do the same thing I'm doing? And, you know, and people like to hear that. And it's good for us. It's good for us. The people listening to the music like you write that have been through certain things. And it's good for us. You know? See, Eddie?
The message.
Yes. You see, I didn't sing to her, but that was my serenade to her, Eddie. I was letting her know that I feel for her, and I feel she made me feel something today. And I'm not going to cry because I got to be a man in front of Jay. And I got to show her that I'm the man that, you know, maybe she's a rock and roller, and I get it. She wants to use me. That's cool.
I appreciate a good cry. Cry away. Let's cry together right now.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. So, Alberto, all questions were asked from Eddie that you wanted to hear. Yes, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right. All right, Jay, do you have any upcoming gigs going on?
Yeah, in my hometown, Whittier, tonight. I'll be at California Grill, kind of banging out a bunch of fun, folksy rocking covers.
California Grill?
California Grill.
That's from Whittier, Whittier High School? Whittier College.
Yeah,
college.
It's
college.
Right in uptown Whittier.
Mm-hmm. Ah, that used, you know that used to be Bob's Big Boy, right?
Bob's Big Boy, back in the day.
Back in the day, that's right. Oh, you're going to be there tonight, Eddie. That's next. Don't you live next door to there?
No, not next door.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, wrong guy. So you're at the California Bar and Grill tonight in Whittier, uptown Whittier. Mm-hmm. And you got anything else going on for the weekend?
Tomorrow night at Angry Horse Brewing in Montebello.
Oh.
And Saturday at Upland Back Abbey. But all of these you can find on my website at jrinmusic.com, and there's a huge list. I'll be in Southern California for the next couple weeks, and then I drive back to Nashville.
Oh, you're leaving?
Yeah, she said she's leaving.
But I thought that she,
you guys are coming with me.
You're originally from here, but you went out to Nashville, yeah. and then you just came back to visit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I thought you were back, like, maybe you
spending moved
back.
Spending the holidays here.
No, I thought she moved back or something. And,
oh, no.
Oh, see, Eddie, see what happens when I build a relationship?
She mentioned that in the beginning.
Leave.
What's she that? Mentioned that in the beginning that she was going back to Nashville.
Steve doesn't listen, okay? You should know already.
Hey. I'm looking at the beauty, Alberto, and I guess I need to listen more. I'm sorry.
Sorry, folks. Okay, I froze up here for a second. Everything's coming back up right now.
Cool thing to see you, so that's awesome. And if people out here, if they really love you like I do, they'll travel out to Nashville and go check you out too, or wherever you're traveling. I hope you get to travel around the whole states. That would be awesome.
Yes, that's what I hope for 2024, is to just get on the road a lot more with solo stuff, but like with the band. I do a few full band showcases here and there, but it's a little harder to organize and like find days where everyone's available when they play in a bunch of different projects and stuff. So hopefully 2024 we'll be able to make more stuff happen. Mm-hmm. And I'm also in an all-girls Beatles tribute band called Penny Lane. And we just played International Beatle Week in Liverpool. So that was awesome.
Oh, wow. Hey, Alberto's a big Beatle fan, Alberto, right?
You know everything about me, don't you?
Well, I know you like the Beatles. Yeah. I thought this was something you would, you know, you'd like. Do you have any guys have any music? Girls have any music out?
I mean, we're called Penny Lane Nashville. We just started the current members that we have this past year. And nothing like officially released, just little videos on our Instagram right now.
You got an Instagram too for that? Oh, Eddie, can you write all this down? Because I gotta follow her everywhere she goes.
Penny Lane.
She's a traveler, and you know, see, she like, I get it now, Eddie. She's the one. She wants to be chased. I get it. Mm-hmm. I don't mind chasing. I'll chase. I'm a chaser. You know, chase me. Use me, dump me, whatever you want to do. Just as long as it's rock and roll and we like it, right? All right. So let's see. So to get a hold of you or check out everything about you, you go to your website.
Oh, yes. Is jrinmusic.com.
jrinmusic.com. And are all the links to like your social media too, like Instagram and all that on there too?
Yeah.
Okay, so that's
but everything's Jrin Music, so at Jrin Music on Instagram, Facebook.
Very cool.
TikTok,
and
all that good stuff.
She's got a new album out, which is very good. I love it. And Jay, you want to tell everybody what it's called and where they can get it?
Yes, so Fool on the Fringe. And they can get it also on the website on Vinyl RCD. It's available, but it's also available on all the streaming download sites, Spotify, Apple Music. Amazon, YouTube.
So, if they want to buy like a CD or an album, they could go to your website and there's probably an order thing or something like that. Very cool.
Yeah, they can order. Currently, I don't have it set up to order signed records, but you've inspired me, Steve. So, I'll try to add that by tomorrow.
There you go. See, Eddie,
as an option.
Mm-hmm. See, I chip away at the ladies. You see, it takes a while. It takes a whole interview, but I'm getting to her, Eddie. Jrin, awesome music. I'm a big fan of yours now. You're a friend of our show, and if you ever got things going on, you won't.
Sorry, folks, I froze up again.
I'd love to catch one of your shows.
You know, do you come back to Whittier often, or is it just a holiday thing, maybe, or you just when you feel like
every,
it?
Every like, say it's been more often like this past year. Maybe like every few months. Oh, I'll come back kind of the area. I also do a lot of fair gigs, so I'll do like Sacramento Cal Expo Fair. That's been pretty regular in the summers, and then in October I do Fresno Fair. And so I come out for those, I kind of just take the side trip down here, see all the family.
Oh, nice. How about Alberto? What's the ones you like? The Orange County? Orange County Fair? Or is it LA? Or
I've only been to
those?
LA.
You never
I've done OC Fair last year. I did OC Fair.
Oh, I missed it. Okay, so do us a favor. If you ever do a fair, that way the whole show can go down there and support you. See, Alberto, this is something I would do with you fellas. And Alyssa, we actually have a female co-host, but she's out today. And we'd like you to meet her next time you come on.
All right.
We would totally go to the fair. See, Alberto?
You know what, Jay? Jay, book a show like on a pier or something. I want to test Steve. You know, if he'll go out to the ocean.
Oh, boy. Okay. See, I'm scared of the ocean to fly or be around the ocean, but Jay, she may break me. I don't know. This is a tough one.
I might just ship.
Yeah, I'm a Pisces, so ocean is speaking my language.
I agree with Eddie. Book a cruise ship. Do a
break. Oh, Lord. All right. You're going to see how... how much I could cry with love, right? Oh boy, our train wreck.
Now,
right?
Alberto, I gotta ask. I feel like we went to school together, but I don't know if accurate or not.
Well, I didn't go to school.
I went to
with
Cal
you.
High. You did.
I live like real close to it. I don't know. Maybe I saw you around.
That's fun. Yeah, maybe. That's funny.
Go Condors.
Go Condors.
Eddie went to Cal High. Yeah.
Eddie, you went to Cal High?
But yes, way back in the 70s.
Oh, gosh. Get out of here.
not that long ago.
So you went to Cal High. That's cool. So she's a local girl. She's a Whittier girl there. Yes, mm-hmm. I love it. But I tell you what, Alberta, she comes out and does any of these fairs, we're going. And even if you do you know what? I wish we could have went tonight.
Tonight would have been perfect. Yeah.
Tonight would have been perfect. What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. I can't make it tonight.
Eddie, break up with your girlfriend.
To see
Bring her.
No, I can't, Steve. I have commitments.
Right, for us.
Respect that.
Steve's freezing up in anger.
Yes. I'll tell you what. Next time you come out, let us know your schedule, and we'll try all to get together and go see. And you'll know we're there. Don't you worry. You'll know. you're gonna
I'll hear you.
Have security ready.
Yeah, that's right. Okay. But Jay, thank you so much for coming on, and I'm so happy I found you. You're a friend of our show now, and keep rocking away, and stay safe in Nashville and everywhere you are playing and touring, and let us know when you come back.
All right, we'll do. Thank you all for having me. It's great to meet you all.
Continued success.
Okay, bye-bye, Jay. Everybody. Take care.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Here. Interesting. It's a Whittier woman, Eddie.
Yeah.
Wow. That's made it out of Whittier. We're in the area and we never had a guest. Have we ever had a guest in Whittier?
I think we have. Well, not me. Yeah.
Oh, we have?
We had Nick.
Oh, God. That's not a guest. that's a wart.
Well, we've had people that
we've had
that know of Whittier, like the couple of guys from the.
That bike. Oh, from. MS Fitness.
Where we had him, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the bike riders.
Oh, the fat boys.
Yeah.
The fat boys are back. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then we had our Natural Wonders guy.
Yeah,
we're forgetting everything.
You are.
Oh, boy. Oh, that was pretty cool.
That was
anyway,
cool.
Eddie, go ahead and get her a record, will you?
I will. I'm going to listen to it as soon as we're off the show.
I'm glad Eddie's got taking a little interest. He usually doesn't do this. So I was like, good job, Eddie. I like it. You know that before she came, you know, I'm in a good mood now. I'm all happy. But before, you know, I was upset. There was another thing I was upset about.
Oh.
And I don't want to bring the show down, but, you know, I got to go through this because...
Fight shows are the best shows.
What's up with...
You gotta repeat
that. What in the hell? YouTube.
What about?
You broke up.
Oh, am I breaking up? You know, this is another thing. The internet people.
You want to go give them a shout out?
Yeah. Unbelievable. No, YouTube. What happened? Remember the days when you can, if you're looking for a movie that's maybe old or it's you can't find it somewhere, you can go to YouTube and watch the whole movie, right? It may not be a great picture.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there.
You get Russian subtitles.
Yeah, whatever. But yeah, it's just all look like somebody did it off their phone or something. But they don't do that anymore.
Oh,
you try
down.
To type in a movie, you pay for it. They put some price on it.
Yeah, that's the way it goes. But you get good quality.
Really? Yeah, but I don't want good quality. It might be okay. Look at what happened. I was trying to find.
you want it the same as it was when it came out, right?
Not really. Well, okay, here's an example, Eddie. Like, my kid had to do something on Dead Poets Society, right, for school.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going, and Maggie's all, okay, we need to watch some of this movie so I can, you know, we can, there's a few questions on here. It's been a long time since we've seen it, right? Like, we're trying to, we got all these apps and mm-hmm. Peacock, Hulu, HBO. We got all these channels, right? But all of them you got to pay for. Even Prime Video, everything, you know, nothing is on there free. Netflix. So I go, well, let's try, you know, let's YouTube. Worst case scenario, let's just go to YouTube and we'll just watch a grainy video. She's like, no, they charge there too. And I go, don't you tell me what they do. Then I start fighting with her, right?
Oh, boy.
What else is new? And let me guess, she won the argument.
Well, in the end, yes, because I go, look it, I'm going to show you right now. So I pulled the app up on the TV, right? I go, just sit there and just hush. Let me show you. I know these things. So I pull it up. Here it is right here. So I pull it up, and what does it say? $3.99.
Well, I guess it's worth it, huh?
You can just rent it.
Yeah, no, but we just needed to see a few. We didn't want to watch a whole movie. See, you guys give me all set. Crazy.
All you had to do was watch until you got the answers you wanted. And...
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, he's.
It's frozen.
The cable frozen company is attacking the internet.
Unbelievable.
I don't know what's wrong.
You're coming back.
I'm getting frozen up.
I'm getting tired of this.
But it only happens at a certain
rewire,
time.
Put brand new wires from the pole all the way to the place. That's it.
If they use it,
if they don't want to do it, I'm gonna make them put brand new. I'm gonna watch them roll it off the coil.
You know, just have them build you a new house.
Yeah.
Tear up the walls again and put some new wires.
I think he has to use an Ethernet cable.
No, he uses everything. You need to go climb the pole and just get a direct line.
In full effect.
Oh yeah, he should know how to do that. Didn't he install that stuff for
him? I think for the cable company, I think the first time he went up the pole, he got scared. It was a little too high for him.
Didn't you dabble in cable installation, Steve?
He can't hear us.
Can't hear us. Huh?
Yeah, I froze up twice during that interview, so I know how it goes. To him, to him, we're frozen, and he's moving around fine.
He's probably throwing stuff around. Huh?
Yeah, I think we probably lost his whole connection. He probably broke his computer.
Maybe.
Well, I don't know how we're gonna end this show.
Well, we can always put a picture of Steve on the.
I mean, we can exit, and then I guess on YouTube and Facebook, this goes on forever until Steve gets reconnected.
But it only happens after like an after an hour of the show.
Oh, usually, I mean, the last few shows it's been he's now completely gone.
Oh,
he has to come reconnect. But I think the last couple of shows he's been good. I mean, a little bit of glitching, and maybe only after the show. But
ever since he did his remodel of his studio, he's been. Having problems.
Oh, they remodeled the whole complex over there, so we can't tell where he really is because you know he'll get upset. You know, ruin the illusion that you know Magpie Podcast Network is a multi-billion-dollar company.
Well, at least we got through the interview.
We got through the
guest. So that's the important thing.
For Steve, that's all that matters. I don't know. You got anything to talk about, Eddie?
Nope, just the rain.
Yeah, here he comes. Oh, crystal clear.
Why is it you guys are here and I'm the one that gets gone?
I guess once we connect, I think until...
So you guys been here the whole time?
Yeah.
Yes.
On YouTube and Facebook live.
What happened is I was watching and all of a sudden Eddie goes off, right? And then he comes back on. Then Alberto goes off. He comes back on. Then I go off, come back. Then all... go off.
So as I was telling Eddie, I froze up during the interview, but when you individually freeze up, everybody on the screen goes frozen. And you're still kind of moving around. Okay, right now you're frozen. So
yeah, he's frozen again.
So to him right now, we're frozen, and he's probably talking and, you know, can you guys hear me and all this? He's probably freaking out.
Oh, there he is. He's back.
Yeah, I'm back. I'm very. What is wrong? Is it just me, or do you guys? Is anything going on your end?
It's.
I don't know. We're fine.
It's you. It's right just now. Me?
It's just you.
Like I said, I froze up during the interview. When you, he's frozen again. When you freeze up.
Yes.
When it's your system, the rest of the people look frozen. So. I froze up during an interview, and I was watching on YouTube, and you can see me. I'm frozen, and then I just come back. But before I come back, on my screen, you guys all go black, and you got the little circle.
Oh, boy.
I don't know.
Me too. I haven't had that problem, I think.
Yeah, you know what? I think Eddie stole Steve's internet.
I'm tired of this.
Hey, Steve, I think Eddie... when you were remodeling, I think Eddie broke into your house and stole your wiring.
No. This is not supposed to happen, is it?
No, it's not.
Because I know sometimes it'll do that. Anybody's right. Sometimes it'll be like, oh, what's wrong with it? And then it fixes itself, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But this seems like this one is doing it a lot more.
You're okay.
Every time they check it, they say it's okay. I'm wondering if wiring from coming straight from the outside pole to the under the, you know, it goes in under the place and everything. Because they could check the modems and all that shit that they put in. Hey, but
they check the speed and all that and tell you it's fine. Well, there it goes again.
Yeah, this thing. I don't know why it does that. It says unstable. It's saying it's unstable.
I think they're just talking about you.
It says unstable connection. And plug straight in.
I think they're talking about your brainwaves.
We're plugged in straight in, Eddie.
Maybe you need an Ethernet cable.
That's what I use. That's what we're using.
Oh yeah, that's what you use.
Maybe you gotta
not wireless.
Go on Amazon and get a better one.
I did.
You know, he's got level one.
No. I'm very upset.
Yep. He's gone from angry to happy, back to angry, now depressed.
Yeah, forget you two. I'm tired of their asses, too.
I don't know. I went on there. There's plenty of scenes available, so.
You need a Wi-Fi
I don't want scenes. I want the movie.
The Wi-Fi extender?
Then pay your $3.99. Cheap-ass bitch.
No, I don't want a Wi-Fi extender. I'm plugged straight in. That's the best way. Extender is just Wi-Fi.
Mm-hmm.
Better than plug straight into the tap.
Yep.
Eddie?
I'm just throwing out suggestions out there.
I don't feel too bad because when I used to have problems, Steve would be making fun of me saying I have Tijuana internet and all this bullshit. So you know what?
When did I say you had Tijuana internet?
That day I blew up. I came on kind of connected. You know, it's something about Tijuana and a toucan connected to a string and fuck you. I got pissed. That's why I had the little meltdown. Because you were acting like a bitch.
Stop. It wasn't from me.
Yeah, it was from you.
What was wrong with the internet?
What was wrong with the computer? The computer was old. It couldn't keep up with the high-speed internet.
What happened to the storyteller we were supposed to have on from Tijuana?
She's still in Tijuana.
They're still trying to connect.
Yeah, she's still trying to connect. Still dialing.
They're trying to run an Ethernet cable across the border.
Oh boy. Okay, guys, you know, if anybody is listening, either whatever the podcast or watching live stream, sometimes we talk a little bit political stuff, and we want you to know there is no right or wrong answer because everybody gets all riled up because they know best and they think we're only on one side, and you know, even if we are, that's our own opinion. You know, you have yours and we have ours. You know, all of us on the show may have different political opinions, and that's just the way it is. But, you know, we don't hate each other for that. We might hate each other for other reasons. But, God, people sure get riled up over. And I got a clip I'm going to play of somebody.
Okay.
That's in a, you know, he's a well-known person. And it has to do with kind of what I said, you know, like, you know, when if it's in a political setting if you're on one side and somebody's on the other and you guys don't agree, and then somebody's telling you why you should and why you shouldn't do this, and you know, it's a clip from, you know who Dana White is, right? And you guys UFC? Probably heard it. Yeah. He was on this podcast show, and I got a clip so we can all stay on here. I don't need to run a video. It's just going to be a clip. And what he says is right on mark. It does, you know, and I'm going to play it, and then we'll talk about it a little afterwards. So here we go. It's Dana White from, he's the president of the UFC now, right, Eddie?
Yes.
He used to own it, right, with somebody else, and then they sold it or something like that. Is that mm-hmm. how that worked? Now he's like a billionaire or something.
They own WWE now.
Oh, yeah, but he's not the owner no more.
Yeah.
He used to be a part owner, and then he sold it to whoever he sold it to for like a few $1 billion. So now he's a billionaire. Just
see, we could have had our own fight club. We could have sold it.
And we fight all Eddie, the time. Eddie, you want to fight David, and we'll start another UFC type thing? David, I don't know what we'll call David. It. The UFC, MC, what can we call the M25?
M25,
No, this. Just the M25. M25 Battleground. That's all right. Hey, all you guys got to do, you do have to oil up and...
No.
You know, the little wrestling shorts or whatever I'll they pass. Wear. Like Hogan wears?
No.
No?
And Steve and I get a kiddie pool inflated for you guys?
Yes. And then we'll throw a Tres Leches Crake in there, and you guys can wrestle in that.
No, thank you.
don't chase us, Eddie, away again.
I'll quit the show before I do that.
I thought you liked Mexico, Eddie.
I like Mexico, but I quit the show before I did that.
Isn't that the cake of the state or the country?
No,
Tres Leches. So. No. Okay,
it's a popular cake.
I'm gonna play a clip. Dana White, who's on some podcast, and we're going to talk about this right after, so I'm going to play it right now. Here we go.
Posted a video for Trump, right, mm-hmm. on my personal social media, and one of our big sponsors called and said, take that down. You know what I said? Go fuck yourself.
Yeah.
You vote for whoever you want to vote for, and I'll vote for whoever I want to vote for. That's how this works. I don't even care who you're voting for. It's none of my fucking business. But fuck you.
Yeah.
Don't ever fucking call me and tell me who to vote for.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think a lot of people feel in fear these days, you know? A lot of people feel in fear that if they don't vote for certain people, they're going to lose their jobs. Yeah. I mean, it's Hollywood, for example.
Think about how fucking crazy that is.
It sounds insane. It yeah. sounds just like...
Well, it'll keep happening unless more people stand up for themselves. Yeah. And give them the fuck you.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's nobody's business who you vote for.
Right? And it kind of... Where I kind of lean to is like, I understand what he's saying. It's like, there's a lot of people, if they support Donald Trump, they don't want to say because they don't know what kind of backlash they're going to get, you know? Just because, you know, who cares, you know? It's the part that gets me and bugs me. It's like, okay, like Donald Trump, but you're telling me what a bad person I am, or if, say, Eddie likes Trump or somebody, and you're telling them how bad they are, and that, you know, you don't do that, or you can't hang around me or whatever. I mean, but yet, if it's somebody else, like, if they're liking, it's okay. Just because they say it's okay. I mean, how far does this go? I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's nobody's business. Like,
and luckily that man is in a position where, you know, he's got billions of dollars, so he don't give a fuck. He could tell the biggest sponsor he has, go fuck off.
It's called
take your shit and get out.
It's called, you know, it's kind of what he said. It's called fuck you money. When you're so rich that, you know, they can't cancel you, they can't.
Gosh, here we
put,
go.
Yeah, you're freezing up again. Put you on the street or anything, but you know, in a way, when he says, you know, people are afraid of losing their jobs. If you don't have an ability to provide for yourself, you know, yeah, you're gonna keep quiet, or you're not gonna.
Yeah, that's exactly. And the thing is like he said, he didn't put it out. You know, I know he's in the business spotlight, but like he said, he has his own personal accounts for his own whatever, Facebook or Instagram or whatever. You know, like everybody else.
Yeah.
And you know, he does what he does on his own personal stuff, and then they're telling him what to do. And, you know, I could see, like, if he posted it on the UFC.
Yeah.
You know, it's not, you know, he's the president of it, but he doesn't own the company anymore. Or he'll go to that sponsor's social media and do something. And, yeah, you could say, hey, don't put that on there. Okay, and it's up to him. He does have to take it off, right? But, you know, he's doing, people do things that they want to do. And I just see a one-sided thing. Like, I don't see the other side, like, oh, you like this guy? Oh, you know, screw, I don't want to, you know, I don't want nothing to do with you. Like, if this, say, a Democratic, whoever it is, Clinton, Biden, whoever past Democrats are, I never, you never hear nothing of that much hate, you know, to hate somebody because they like another opponent. You know what I mean?
I mean, yep. It's there. I do see it, but it's not from the right. It's not as much from the left. I mean, you tell somebody you like Trump, you good luck. You know, hopefully you can dodge the bullet, but, you know, you're pretty much, you've targeted yourself, and, you know, they'll come at you from nowhere. You know, people you don't know, across the country, from the other side of the world, you know, they'll be sending you messages and, you know, fuck you and all that. And that's much more from that side, what I've noticed.
I don't know. Like I said, I just heard that clip and I was like, I know exactly what he's talking about. It's like, who cares? You know, I don't give a shit who, when people like somebody that I don't, he's not my cup of tea. I mean, I don't get all nutty about it. I'm just like, oh, well,
no,
it's your vote. You know, if that's what you want to waste your vote on, go for it. But I don't say you're stupid and don't ever call me again. Or, I don't want you. Like, if it was Eddie, you're not on the show anymore because you like somebody I don't like, or Biden, mm-hmm. or whoever, or Kamala, or whoever it is, you know, whatever it is. It's, I don't, wouldn't do that. Why would
Reagan?
Well, see, the problem is,
if you don't like Reagan, I wouldn't do that, you know, whatever.
The problem is, I mean, it should be just like a sports team, you know. You got a Chiefs and a Raiders fan here, and I like the Chargers, but, you know, we're cool with each other. The problem is, politics, it's now just become, you know, it's a control thing, it's a power thing. And, you know, people take it personally because, you know, if that other guy gets in that I don't like, you know, he's going to do this to me personally, and they take it personal. You know, they think their lives are going to be ruined, and it just becomes this horrible game. And it's sad. You know, this shouldn't be the whole system the way it is, the political system. And, you know, my guy gets in, and we're gonna come get you. And then, you know, all these prosecutions of Trump. What do you think is going to happen once a Republican gets in there? They're going to flip it around on the Democrats, and you see this kind of, you know, power hungry people, you know, playing the game, and, you know, using us as pawns. You know, they believe me, you know, both Trump and Biden and, you know, the people behind them, they love us to see us fighting like that. Us doing all the dirty work, us getting on our faces, throwing stuff at each other, punching each other in the street, you know, and then they get the power. You know, they can be above it all. They don't have to get their hands dirty. That is the sad. You know, it's, you know, like when you see a stadium fight, you know, you see Chiefs and Raiders fans fighting each other. You just, you know, you shake your head like, these people are stupid. But, you know, these same people, I mean, they'll go on the street for, you know, beat up people attending a Trump rally, you know, and same thing. Not as much from the right, but, you know, it's, they'll want to go just fight people.
No, I get it. It's just, I'm just saying it's not even about even fighting. It's just about telling you what to do. Business is telling you what to do. Like if, say, you went into your place of work and said, hey, you know what, I love shirt on, or you're going to vote for Trump, whatever it is that people just seem to not like. Or, you know, I shouldn't say everybody, because there's a lot of people that do like him. There's nobody, you know, if not, he wouldn't be so popular, right? But just, there's some people who just don't like him, and there's other people that don't like Biden. But,
well, I mean,
that'd be like a job. You'd say, hey, let's say you work at a place where you don't have a uniform. They let you wear your own clothes, right?
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't know. I'm sure there's jobs out there like that. And say you come in with a Trump shirt. Eddie goes in with the M25 shirt. You go in with the Trump shirt, and I go in with the whatever Biden shirt. And we walk in, and they tell you, hey, take that off or go home.
Yeah.
changed, and then you can come back to work.
But they don't tell the other guy.
I mean, that's, and they let me slide. I have a Biden shirt, and they let Eddie slide because he has an M25 show shirt.
Oh, well,
and it's like why send Alberto? It said, if you come back with that shirt on again, you're fired.
Yeah.
I mean, why? Just because you have some, you're in some kind of power. But yet, like this Dana White thing, somebody in power went against somebody else who's in power that probably has just as much as money as him, saying, you know what? Fuck you. Take your shit, take your sponsor shit, and get out of here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, he was right in that way, that that's how it stops, but nobody's rich like him either. You know, we can't, people mm-hmm. that don't have money can't stand up to people like that. But there's also people like people in the streets that don't have shit. Is fighting, you know, fighting for no reason.
All they have. Fighting is all they have.
Yeah, they're fighting. And they, what does it do when it's all over? Nothing.
Nothing. Yeah. Nothing.
Trump person votes for the Trump, and the Biden votes for the Biden, and they just get beat up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nothing will solve. You think because you're treating somebody like that, they're really going to change their vote? They may say, okay, yeah, I'll do what you say because yeah, they need the job or whatever, but they're going
to... Yeah, in the booth, you know. Nobody knows how you vote.
Nobody knows how you vote. It's the way it should be.
Yeah. So, you know, you could, people could pull their stuff and no, well, you vote. You can't have any of this people you like. This is who we like. So you got to roll that way. Okay. I'll lose my job. But then when you go vote the way you want.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think people in that power wouldn't be so stupid to think they're actually going to go in the poll booth and pull the thing for the opposite person.
Well, it's called the Bradley effect.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know if anybody knows the Bradley effect, but you want to explain it to him, Steve?
You explain it because I'm surprised you have that smartness and the knowledge.
Well, I think it was it was the 1978 gubernatorial race here in California that Mayor. Oh, I forget his first name, Bradley of Los Angeles, a black man, was running. He was a Democrat and there was a Republican. I don't know the name. But
Tom Bradley.
But yeah, Tom Bradley. And but I forget the Republican who won. But people were telling, you know, posters come up, you know, hey, who are you going to vote for, you know? And, you know, people didn't want to say, you know, or more than one is, you know, I'm really progressive. I don't want people to think I'm a racist or something, so I'm going to vote for Bradley. But you go in and they vote Republican for the Republican. And then, you know, come election night, you know, all these media had all this information that, oh, man, it's going to be like a whole bunch of more votes for Bradley. And then once the vote starts become counted, you know, everything goes wrong. A lot of that happened in 2016 with Trump. You know, a lot of people, especially I think Wisconsin, Michigan, you know, it was a big surprise because a lot of people up there saying, oh, yeah, I'm going to vote for Clinton. I'm going to vote for Hillary. But, you know, when you draw that curtain, I mean, I guess back east, I've seen a lot of those old phone booths where you close the curtain. Here in California, you just, you know, you got your little partitions, you know, you
undecided,
not even undecided. You're decided, but you're telling people, oh, no, I'll vote.
Well, yeah,
I'm voting for the other person. I don't want to get into a fight here with you.
Yeah, so. But you're right. And it's sad. I mean, if,
yeah, when you go vote, you've already know who you're going to vote for. So
yeah, it's just a sad world where, you know, if you're having a talk with a friend or just somebody and they go, hey, who are you voting for this time? Oh, I'm voting for Trump. Oh, shit. Oh, it's like, fuck, I didn't know it was your vote. God damn. Who are you voting for? Oh, I'm voting for Biden. Oh, all right, cool.
Yeah.
If you want to waste your vote, I mean, I won't say that, you know, I wouldn't go to the lengths of saying they're stupid and, how, you know what, I think we shouldn't be hanging out anymore, or, you know, it's just like, all right, well, I'm not voting for that dude, or vice versa. No. You know, if you're on the Biden train, I'm voting for Biden, you're voting for Trump, all right, well, let the best man win. That's just how it should be. But God, I am a political dude myself, hardcore, and it takes everything for me for not to post on my personal pages, because I don't, but I would like to. But I just, you know, it starts a whole, no matter what side you're on, it's going to start some kind of shit storm. And you know, you shouldn't even really have to go and say political. You just, you know, you don't even have to tell people who you're voting for.
Right.
Well, but conversations do come up. Like me and you, Alberto, if we're talking, you're going to go, hey, Steve, who are you voting for this year?
It's not even that. I mean, it's just issues, you know, just the way you see the world. You know, it's one way is in one camp and one way is in another camp, and you know, and everybody knows, you know. You know, you have your you have your stance on immigration, you know whatever you say, you're labeled this, you know, you got it's any issue now.
And you know, it is like there's there's times in my time where I was able to vote. The president I wanted made it in, and there's times the president I didn't want it in. Yeah, I didn't die. I might have watched what happened. Some good things might have happened. Some things that would have not good happened. And I can go, look, you know, I could say to people I can have a conversation with, look at, see what happened. There might have been some good things, but there could have been a lot of bad things, or vice versa. Mm-hmm. Nothing's ever perfect. So you can point out what didn't go right. Well, now if you're on the opposite.
Now these days, even if something goes good, you know, you can't even point it out because they'll get you on something else.
Yeah, here's just an example. Like you're saying with the border, like today, I hear these arguments all the time that the Republicans say, you know, the border's out of control now. And then you got the Democrats going, oh, it's fine. It's perfect. It's under control. And, you know, you're somebody like me watching and going, what? You know, you see that it's not under control. You know, maybe it will be. Maybe they got a secret plan or whatever. But the fact is, how you can see black and white what's going on, and you see people fighting over it. One saying, you know, the border's out of control. And then the other side that's running the show saying, oh, no, it's good. We got it. And it's all good. And you're sitting there going,
we're apprehending them all. Which...
Yeah, it's like, what do they think that we're stupid? Whether if it's not under control, you just come out and go, yeah, you know, it's out of control. We're trying to fix it. It's a hard thing to do. That's a big job to take care of. If you really sit down and look at it, like me and you couldn't go and go, okay, we can fix this. And we might have an idea, but it's going to take some time. There's a lot of people. Yep. But the fact is straight up and lie. And then there's things that the Republicans say that things are going a certain way that they're not. And the Democrats are going, what do you look at? You know, only the obvious people can see it.
Yeah.
So it's just like
there's always two sides to every story.
So you know, the things that are right that people do see, don't lie about it. Just say, you know what, yeah, it's out of control, or this is not working. We're working on fixing it on both sides, whoever, if you're a Republican or Democrat, because no side is perfect.
You're a liberal.
A liberal.
Mm-hmm.
You mean independent?
Oh, liberal, independent.
I think liberal is what Eddie is, right, Alberto?
I'm not going to say.
Eddie, liberal, no,
sadly,
you know what?
And sadly,
liberal is a Democrat, Eddie.
Not necessarily.
This is liberal's Democrat and conservative is a Republican.
Traditionally. Well, you can be a traditional conservative and it can be a traditional.
Well, what, is there a different kind of liberal? What, a Republican liberal? What is there?
I think, you know, it's how far to the extremes you go. Like the most extreme liberal, that's communism. And then extreme conservative, at least socially, I mean, that's a theocracy.
Well, okay, but it's a liberal. I mean, if you go that far left, you get to different names. Like, that's a whole different. However, run in other countries, kind of thing, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Ballgame.
Anyway, independence.
The worst thing is that I see that politics has just become the cult of personality. I mean, you got people supporting Biden. I bet you they don't believe 100%, but you know, that's his man. That's their man. And some people who support Trump, I mean, they don't approve of everything. But you know, it'd be funny. If we voted like if we've ever done the online quizzes, you know, politics, there'll be a topic, and there'll be like, you have like four different, you know, statements, and like, which one do you agree with more? And
what about this, Steve? Do you think both candidates are too old to run for office?
Well,
should there be
Joe Biden's too old. Only because
they're about the same age.
Yeah, but mental. They're...
Well, hold on. Let me finish. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody is older, let's say Biden is a little bit older than Trump, right? Mm-hmm. But let's make them the same age. What is Biden, Alberto? 78?
I think
he's
80s. Trump 75 or something like that.
80 something.
Oh, he's in his 80s?
He might be 81. I don't know.
Okay. And what's Trump, like 78 or?
He's like 80 something too.
No, he's not.
Yeah, he is.
Okay. Let's just make them both 80.
So Biden is 80. And then Trump.
Okay, Trump's 80, what? Like 78?
79?
77.
Okay, so let's just make them both 77, okay? I'm going to give Biden a little bit of benefit of the doubt. Okay, now they could be 80 and still function and talk, but when I see one of them talking and I see the other one talking, one of them doesn't seem like he can put two sentences together. And then this guy's getting old, you know? And then another one, he's old, but he's talking, he can talk, and he can put his sentences together. In my eyes, to me, when I hear Biden talk, sometimes I don't know what the heck he's saying. Now, if he wants, I know he falls down and people make fun of him, and maybe that comes with being old. I don't know. And that's a whole different story. But I'm just talking about when you look at somebody and you could tell by the way of their demeanor. That's just it. I'm not making fun of people's ages, but you could be 85 and be talking like you're in your 60s.
Yeah,
but you can be 68 and just kind of age bad and just forget things a lot. And, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. I think Biden forgets a lot of things. I think he's coached a lot because he forgets what he's talking about in mid-sentence. And he just goes, oh, okay, it's time to go. Or talking about something really deep. He forgets what he's talking about.
He loses. He just goes off on a story and then.
Forgets that he'll go off on a story about whatever the thing he's talking about, and then he forgets what he was talking about, and then he's like, "Oh yeah, you know," and then he moves on. So
you can see him trying to fight his way back. Like, where was I? And
but if Biden talked where he didn't do that, and he knew what he was talking about, like as in he didn't forget stuff, then hey. I think at their age, if they got a good head on their shoulders, knowing what's going on, then why not? Yeah. Be a nice person in there. Well, you can have a young person that's kind of reckless, or not have enough. What do you call it? Experience.
That was the other thing with Kennedy early on. But I mean, part of being the president, you're going to learn fast. Kennedy had that problem. I think. Early 61, he went to meet with Khrushchev and got his butt kicked, verbally, and he had to learn quick, even if they're young, if you got the right people around you.
Kennedy was, I could have been, Kennedy wasn't all what everybody thought he was, there's the story how his dad got him in through the mob because he was losing. He was getting his butt kicked in the elections. And his dad went to the mob and said, hey, you know what? My son, he wants to be president. What can we do?
I think his dad wanted him to be president more.
Yeah, his dad wanted him to be president. Yes, that's what I'm saying. Kennedy was getting beat bad.
It fell onto John because the older brother died in World War II. So...
And then, he made promises. He told, he was supposed to keep some promises to, if he wanted to be president. Okay, we'll help you out.
Yeah. And then
we want some, this is what we want. And he didn't do his end of the bargain.
From what I heard, I think his brother actually went after the mob. So.
Yeah. They wanted him to back. That was one of the things. They wanted his brother to back him off. Because, his brother was after that mob, trying to put him away.
So you're saying the mob had him killed?
Well, there's stories that's how John Kennedy got it to be president. Who was he going up against? Was it Nixon? Nixon was kicking his ass, and John Kennedy's dad went to the mob.
They both didn't pan out, right?
No.
No, they both became president.
Yeah.
Well, eventually. Yeah, but they both One was assassinated and the other one resigned.
Yeah, and I don't know the full thing of Nixon. You know, I heard that, you know, the Watergate thing and all that, but...
Well, he's got a library anyway.
Yeah, I heard that he didn't really have to resign. You know, there was two sides to that story.
He didn't have to, but he was going to get...
He was going
to
get impeached and probably convicted.
He was going to get impeached. He's probably going to get convicted. Yeah, he was going to get impeached, but so he went the easy way. Just resign and...
They don't just name a library after you for nothing.
All the
presidents get one.
Since Roosevelt or Hoover, I forget.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean,
oh really? I didn't know that.
The thing was,
I know is Nixon Library and the Reagan.
And
biggest ones that you always hear about.
Well, because you're here in California. I mean,
okay. Well, what other ones have you heard that are big?
You got Truman.
Obama Library.
I never even heard of him. Obama Library?
It's under construction. Although
construction.
So there is a system of actual presidential libraries, beginning with Hoover, I believe, and FDR, on down the line. Obama, I think, is going to be kind of an independent library. It's not going to be part of that chain or whatever. I mean, organization, but he's getting this built in Chicago.
In Chicago, Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan's nice. Got to go in Air Force One.
I haven't been to any of them.
It's nice.
Oh, we should
take the show down there.
Is that okay? Is that okay that I haven't, or am I going to get?
We should take the show down.
We're going to cancel you.
Oh God! Here we go. Hello, Henry. It just upsets me that maybe because I like to talk about politics more, and I know I can't because.
What do you mean you like? Talk about issues,
I'll be honest, because I'm on that side that like I told you, I've never been shied away that I'm a Republican. And I'm gonna stick with the Republicans, whoever the front runner is. That's just the way it is, just like the Democrats do. Very rare they'll jump off their dude, whoever it is. That's just the way it is. You'd rather have, if a Republican you're like, oh man, this person isn't the greatest, but I'll tell you what, I don't want the other side jumping in. That's just the way it is. You know, you're not going to say, oh, our person is no good. Let's vote for Democrats to run the place, you know, run the house, to be the president. That's not how it works. And people say, oh, you're dumb if you pick them. That's the way it works.
It usually balances out, because usually when there's a Republican president, it's the Democrats that run the Senate or whatever. And then and then when the Democrats are in the White House, vice versa. Sometimes, when the Republicans are in office, it's the Democrats that run, and then when the Democrats are in office, it's the Republicans that run. So it's kind of balances out.
I think the Democrats, not always, but
most of the time.
My whole opinion on thing is, it's a cult of personality. It's the R and the D. It's no more than stupid than sports fandom. You know, you have your team and you root for them no matter what. You know, if you went to actual positions. You know, you've actually, investigated, researched, you know, believe me, I kind of said, those political quizzes, you know, there's an issue and then there's like so many responses, you pick one. This one online game I was playing back in 2016 on their forums, they actually had a link to one of these quizzes, and these the players, they would do the quiz and they come back with the person you agree with more is Trump, and they'd be upset, how this is bullshit and all this. I went and did the quiz. I go, let me answer if I wanted Hillary to be the president. Sure enough, I would answer the way, and I would get Hillary. The quiz is right, but people lock into their label, to their party, and they don't care about what really is.
What's right? Even if it's wrong, that's what I'm saying. You stick with your team.
Yeah.
It's like Eddie, you're a Rangers fan, but they could stink, right? You're not going to abandon them.
Unless they really screw you over or really make you mad. But like I said, politics would be much easier if we didn't even know who the candidates were. Just go in, okay, here's the immigration. You got two, three, four candidates. They all have their statement. Okay, I like this one. Taxes, this, that, education, this. You choose all that, and boom, here, okay, here's the person you're voting for. And I think things will be a lot more different.
I think so.
But, you know, it's not.
You know how I think it would really be different? If people just been adults and go, oh, you're voting for them, I'm voting for them too, or I'm not voting for them, I'm voting for this person. Oh,
cool. Okay, cool.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, let's see what
just like a football game, just like a game.
A lot of people lose
teams
power.
Play, let's see who wins.
You know,
the best man win.
What do you think the football players are thinking? You know, they're looking up at the stands, and you know, two fans are fighting.
I don't even think they look.
Yeah,
they're too busy making those millions of dollars.
But if they could make more millions of dollars, if their fan beat up the other fan, then they care. And they'd be pumping up their fans to go fight the other guys. And that's what politics is. You got
sometimes
people,
they do, because they sit there and go like this.
make noise, not to fight people. But like I said, for politicians, it's power. And if
there's a difference from protesting, fighting, and rallying.
Both sides. Right. I mean, there are Republicans.
You could boost up your. You could just rally your people to boost up your.
No, not enough.
But people take it to the. You know, you don't have to fight. You fight because you can't keep it together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, nobody's sending people. Well, you know, like, there could be people that send undercovers in there to start fights, and I believe that. I believe they do that. I believe.
Yeah.
Republicans or Democrats, they send their own people into the other side.
Or there are people who
I don't believe that.
You know, there are people who want things to happen. You know, there are Democrats right now who want, you know, they want another January 6th. They want another huge riot. You know, there are Republicans who want
I don't want
more
that.
Looting and rioting in the summer because, you know, that
I don't want that.
I'm not saying
Eddie, you're not seeking power.
I hate to turn this into a political show, but Eddie, look. Like this January 6th thing, was it right for them to do that? No, it wasn't right.
No,
was it right for the Republicans to do it? No. But they have found people that the Democrats sent in there that they have on video that they're still trying to get prosecute that were in there and urging people to do it. You know, kind of like saying, hey, come on, we gotta storm this thing. And is it right that people listen to them? No. It's like saying you're going to jump off a bridge if they tell you? No.
No,
but you know, the person that's inciting it too, and people that are put them in there and from the other side that actually work for that side and they know it.
Hopefully
and they're there waving
impressive.
It on, going, come on, let's go. We got to get in there. What, you guys don't support your guy? Come on. You know, they have to be accountable for that stuff too, because if they weren't there, it may not have happened. It could have still, but it may not have. And like I'm saying, it doesn't make it right for the people that listened, because you know right from wrong. But you know, just like you get riled up, you know, somebody's going, "Oh, come on, your guy," you know, they did him wrong. We need to go in there and raise hell and knock this building down. And you know, emotions are running, and it doesn't make it right. But it doesn't make it right for that person to be sent in there to do something like that. And I'm not saying that this isn't a what do you call that theory that people say, conspiracy theory. They have the people from that they have on tape that they're still trying to prosecute that were sent in there to help incite more violence. That's, I'll leave it at that, because it does happen, Eddie.
Yeah, I'm sure it does.
And the only reason I'm using that is because, you know, I've seen this, and I've seen the tape that were so Democratic people that in high, you know, I want to say in a high authority that were sent in there, and they're saying, okay, well, you know, how, you know, Trump, they were saying, oh no, it was, you know, it was incited by other people, by the Democrats. It was really them. You know, it was Antifa. It was this. Well, you know what? I believe it was a little bit of everything. I believe people, it was an easy thing, Alberto. You got to know, for all those people out there, all they had to do is have somebody kind of just light the match.
It's called,
hey, come on, what's the matter? You don't support your boy Trump? Get over there, show him, you know, let's see what you know, we got to go, let's go. And
it's called
that's
mob
all it
mentality.
Takes.
You know, it, sociologists have that theory, you know, it's when you get a group of people together, you know, it's people hide in a group, you know, and they, you know, normally you wouldn't throw a brick through a window, but you know, if there's 100,000 people around you,
nobody's gonna see you,
are you gonna get caught? You know, are they gonna know it's you? I mean, now they think I got cameras everywhere, but you know,
I'm not supporting what happened. I'm not, but I'm just saying that all I know is what I saw. You know, everybody forgets, you know, Trump was making a speech and he says right on TV, let's go down there and protest peacefully. He didn't say go down there and let's trash the place, you know, yeah. And whether people did it or maybe if he didn't even have that speech, maybe it wouldn't have happened. But he has a right to go up there and say, hey, I don't believe this was fair. There's nothing wrong with saying that.
Democrats do it all
you
the time.
Say what you can say, hey, I don't believe this election was fair. That's it.
The 4 years before.
Well, I want to go down there and legally, like, you know, you can have, who was the guy that was in charge of the vice president?
Pence.
Hey, we need to see if they can go down and see if he can stop this and maybe have a recount or whatever it is, whatever they.
By that time, they had already recounted everything.
Yeah, but he has a right. He has a right to ask for that. That's in the cause. That's just the law.
In the Constitution.
Yes, you can do that. You may not win, but you have that right to say, "Hey, it's up to the guy, the vice president. What do they call the vice president that actually can overturn it? What is he the not the speaker, president. But
it within the Senate. No. So whoever runs the Senate, is the president pro tem.
But Pence. Pence was the guy that was in charge at that moment that could have done something if he wanted. But he had his name. Well, I don't know what the name's called.
Theoretically, because it's never been done. I mean, we're talking back to 60. Nixon had to go count the votes, and he could have stopped it, but nobody's ever done it. Pence,
but he could
Pence's
have.
Position was, it's ceremonial. I'm just there to count them. Okay.
I know, but
what
guy that was there, he was, yes, but he was in that position, whether he wanted to or not, he didn't. He had that where he could have. I'm not saying he should have or he shouldn't have.
According to the legal people, he didn't have that authority to not certify the Electoral College vote.
Others, it's never been done. It's never been tested. So, but I mean, what Pence could have just done, say that just gotten the states that were in question and say, okay, we're not counting them right now. Trump wouldn't have won because he still wouldn't have enough electoral votes. It would have gone to the Congress, which was mostly Democrat, and Biden still would have been president. It would have been a waste of time.
Yeah, he didn't have the electoral college.
I'm not saying that it would have changed it. I'm just saying he had a right to ask for it, whether he got it or not. This is what that whole thing with when he was having his speech saying, hey, let's go protest. I think I have a right to ask for this. Now, whether he did or didn't. I mean, he could have, you know. No, but like Alberto said, it's never been done. But it doesn't say, hey, you can't do this. You could ask for that. And that's what they were asking. And he said, let's go down there and protest peacefully.
From,
that was it.
From what I know, he had already, all the courts had already said that he had lost.
That's fine. But you could still ask.
You could still ask.
You could appeal it. That's fine.
From what I understand, it is all that he had already lost. All the cases.
It's over. It's lost. Right. It's done. But he has every right to go up there and go, hey, let's go up there and protest peacefully.
Yeah, that.
That's what he said. Mm-hmm. Whether he lost or not, he lost. You can still protest. People are protesting all the time about things.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if he said, hey, let's go down there and knock this building down and raise hell. Now that would be a different story. They'd be like, "Hey, he's telling all of his followers to go down there and knock the building down." Now, what I don't get is nobody ever says, "Hey, how come nobody says he said let's go down there, walk down there, and protest peacefully?" Why did they never say that? That's the part I don't understand.
Because it's a Hearster case.
It's on TV. It was on live TV. That's on record. They have it recorded, but they cut that part out. They just have him up there with his gloves like he's Hitler going, yeah, but they cut out the part where he said, let's go down there peacefully and protest.
Come on, I don't know why.
I do, but you know, there's people that are like, we know, but people still have rights to ask for this and that. It may not change it, but you have a right to ask, hey, we can go down there and protest. I think the vice president should overturn it, or hey, we need to look into it more. You have a right to ask. Whether you lost or you won, you still have a right.
It's like when someone's convicted of a crime, they have a right to an appeal, right?
Yeah, exactly. But he wasn't in a crime thing. He was just, hey, I lost an election. I think there was something wrong. I don't think it was fair. I would like it to be looked into. What's wrong with that? He didn't commit a crime for saying that. Now, if he would have killed somebody, okay, then he's in trouble. Upset. Too many people. Everybody deserves. Each side deserves a fair.
A fair voice.
Now, Biden, hey, you know, I'm glad. Well, I was going to say I was happy he could ride a bike, but no, that didn't happen too good. No, I don't know. I know he's always wanted to be president for a very, very long time. And they got him in.
He got his wish.
Like I said, I don't think they really would want him. I think they would rather have somebody else run, right, Alberto? I would think.
Well, there's a theory. Why do you think they're prosecuting Trump so much?
Don't want him to run.
No, every time they indict him, his poll numbers go up. But pollsters know, and the Democrats know, all these Republican debates, every one of those candidates kicks Biden's ass in the polls. The only one that Biden can fight against is Trump. So they want to keep Trump. They want Trump to win. Okay, that's what they want. That's what they want. They want another Trump-Biden, campaign, because that's the Democrats know the only way they win with Biden. And why do they want Biden? Because they control him. There are people behind the scenes that are actually running the show. It's not Joe Biden.
Eddie, what do you think? You think Joe? Well,
I think it's like that with every president. There's always people behind the scenes he's got advisors and advisors.
But usually we have a president who knows what's going on. It's not giving someone
a reason. I don't know.
And you know what? With everything that's
tricky.
It is tricky. And I'm saying, like, you know, Trump's in trouble. He's being indicted all over East, West, North, South, all over the place.
Coming to the West Coast soon.
The stuff that Biden and his kid they got evidence on, but they're just like, we'll get to it later. You know, if it's Trump, they could try to throw his ass in jail tomorrow, yesterday.
And there are people who know that if Trump or the Republicans get in there,
they're going to go right after him.
The source that are using on Trump right now will get pointed at Biden and the Democrats.
And if Trump gets he's going to fuck people up. Because, like, you know, when he got in, how he said he was going to go after Hillary and then he ended up backing off. After this, after he backed off and then they went after him with everything they had later. If he gets in,
and then
he's going after all of them.
And then he'll get out and then somebody will come in. They'll go after him. And welcome to the new America, folks. it was a great run. I mean, we're almost at 250 years, but it was.
Just remember this. No matter what happens, you have the M25 show.
Yeah, we'll be here.
And we're not political, but we went off the rails there for a minute, and we only do that once every, 6 to 8 months?
We usually try to do it at the end of the show, so you can
every
tune
4 years.
Every 4 years, we go political.
Yeah, tune in 2024. It's going to be it's gonna be a bumpy ride.
But how seriously, I'm happy with... You vote is only the cool thing is just vote. It doesn't matter who you vote for. It's your vote. Do what you want to do, what you believe in, and try not to let people scare you. You don't even have to vote. Yeah. You don't.
How do you feel about the A's moving to Oakland? I mean, to Vegas.
I don't know. I'm not an A's fan. I don't know. All I know it's hot out there. So
they'll build a dome.
Indoor stadium with air conditioning.
Yeah, but they got to live out there still. Not too much outdoor. No. Well, now I guess you can just stay inside for the rest of your life.
No, they don't have to live out there. They can, like, there's people that play for local teams out here. They don't live out here, so.
They're gonna have a pad out there. They're not gonna want to drive back and forth.
They're gonna play 81 games there. They're gonna have to spend some time in the city.
Sure they're gonna buy a pad there. Probably stay at a hotel.
Rent something for six months.
Stay at the brothel Lamar Odom almost died in.
It's fun. I hear it's fun. I mean, you might die, but it's fun. Hookers and coke.
They don't call it Sin City for nothing.
All right.
I wonder where they'll play next year.
I think there's.
I think they're on lease for 2024. And then
I
after
think
that,
they said they. Oh, I thought it was 2028 when they're.
Well, that's when they'll move, but I think they have a lease to play in Oakland till 2024.
Next year? This should come in year? And then what do? They get signed another lease or leave?
They find somewhere to play.
Oh, God.
In 25, 26, and 27.
I don't know.
In Vegas or out here? Anywhere.
They have to find somewhere
anywhere,
to play.
I guess.
So they can play in Washington if they wanted?
Yeah.
They should just be, I don't know, soccer, there's a team concept called the Wanderers. They just play road games, so. Just have them play all 162 road games.
Just have them go to York.
Like the Harlem Globetrotters, they're always on the road.
Just have them play at York Field.
Yeah. We'll hold them. Might sell it out. Huh?
I don't know. They have a good minor league stadium in Vegas. Vegas is Triple A team plays there, but it's small. It's like 10,000 seats. So.
Well, that's about right for Oakland. They don't draw that many fans.
Man, believe.
But I mean, if you're trying to build a fan base in Vegas, you want a few more fans.
You're gonna there's some diehard fans, right?
Mm-hmm.
That would actually probably move out there.
No.
I got the Raiders out there. I got the A's out there.
Maybe they can play in Arizona in one of the minor league.
Oh God, it's hot out there too.
Yeah, it's hot out there too.
Jesus, what's hotter, Arizona or Vegas?
I think they're about the same.
It's all desert.
Could you? That's just. Yeah, I mean, I get it. Everybody's got air, but good Lord, miserable.
I don't know where they could play. Yeah, maybe a Triple A stadium. What did minor league stadiums hold? What, about 10,000, 12,000?
Yeah.
Why are they going to Vegas though? What, there's money? Nobody else that could go.
Because they got the funding for a new stadium there.
They haven't even said that they're building one.
Yeah, they're going to build one. Brand new.
They don't even know where they're going to play.
The Tropicana.
They're going to play the Sphere?
No.
Or what is that ball? They're going to play the
Sphere.
Ball?
Yeah, they're going to implode the Tropicana.
Well, they can't play at the football stadium because Davis doesn't like the A's.
Oh, God. What? Hey, did that guy change his hairdo yet? Did I see a picture where he started combing it back, or was that just a funny thing?
It was probably just a meme.
Oh. I saw a meme where he had next to Captain Kangaroo.
I wonder if the money was right, if he would let him play there.
Fisher doesn't have any money. Owner of the A's.
Boys, got money for a new stadium.
No.
They should be bring Billy Bean back.
Moneyball?
Yeah.
Just bring back Canseco and McGuire.
Yeah, fucking bring them back. They're bringing the crowd. They may not be very good, but... You know what they should do is they should start shooting up again. And then they're in their, 50s, 60s? They come out and they're the home run kings again.
Steroids?
They're breaking records again and they're all old.
Fisher. Well, he's got to have money. He owns a major league team.
Yeah, but to build a new stadium, that's a lot of money. Look at the Raiders charging an arm and a leg for people to go to the Raider game because they've got to pay for that thing they built, man.
Taxpayers are paying for that, I think.
Also, they're just charging you Raider fans all that money take your kids to watch a game.
I think taxpayers.
You can go to Oakland and watch them.
Funded most of the bill.
Well, then they're ripping you guys off. You shouldn't have to go to a game, take your kid, where you're paying $200 a seat.
Well, it's like that everywhere. See?
No, it's not.
Yeah, you go to a Rams game. It's $100 and something.
Well, look what they're playing, Eddie. Yeah, I know, but they want this spectacular places. You have to pay for it.
That's right.
I mean, if you went to the Coliseum and watched the Raiders, you can get a nosebleed seat for what? You're telling me you're going to pay $200? They're going to charge you $200? No.
$25.
No, maybe not 25, but you're talking maybe what? 50, 50, 75, about $50. Just like the old Charger Stadium, right? We'll go get nosebleed seats for about $50.
Probably even now, because if Coliseum holds 100,000, so get 100,000 Raider fans in there.
But if you build a fucking
billion-dollar stadium,
yeah, they gotta. You could say the taxpayers are paying for it, but you know who's paying for it is the owners. Yeah. You know how the owners are paying for it? You know they probably get a line of credit, okay, mm-hmm. and then yeah, I'll pay for it, and then let's make some money off the fans, and you know the fans will do it because they love their team, and I understand, but
there's beer sales, jersey sales,
jerseys, food,
and, yeah, everything, season tickets.
It's like college games. I don't know. I've never been to a college football game, but I can imagine going to watch like the Trojans or the Bruins. Mm-hmm. And I can't see paying a ridiculous price going to there because, you know, it's the stadiums they play in have been there forever. So I can't see going to pay $200 for a nosebleed seat.
Well, I was reading the other day that like the USC quarterback, that Caleb, he's making like more money than some professional football players making the minimum.
Yeah, it's crazy. Is that true? You're saying that when he gets drafted, he wants some ownership in the NFL team. Is that true, or is that just fake shit?
No, I haven't heard that. But
I was like, but I heard this guy's got some balls, huh?
What I did hear is that if he gets drafted by a team that he doesn't want to play for, he's going to stay in school.
Oh, he's one of those, huh?
Yeah.
Well, he's getting to see that when he plays good teams, it's always not that easy.
It's not that easy.
No, I mean, I'm not making fun of him. He's a good quarterback, but, you know, they were playing teams that weren't really that great, you know. There's some of them are okay, but when they start playing these ranked teams, it's tougher. And then once he goes to the NFL, you know, all those boys are good. Yeah. So, you know, that's when I heard he was saying, oh, you want to, I was hoping that wasn't true, that, you know, when you start calling your shots and stuff, it's like, hey, you may be a great quarterback in college, but dude, you know, you haven't played ranked teams yet.
It must be like Eli Manning, call his shot.
Yeah, that's another bozo. You know, you think you would be happy to get drafted into you know, that's everybody's. If you're a football dude, that would be your dream.
That's what just you want to do, drafted. Just to get in, just to get on a team would be. Yeah, yes. Just to get drafted.
And who knows? Maybe down the line you get traded and. Mm-hmm. But you know, let's say you, Alberto. If you're a football dude, right, and you make it to college, and you're the number one, you're going to be the number one pick, right? Who's the worst team in the NFL right now? Is it the Patriots? Bears? Oh, is it the Patriots?
I think so. I think they're.
Well, let's say the Bears. I thought it was the Bears. They're going to get the number one pick this next year, aren't they? They've won like two games or something.
So the Patriots are 2-8.
Okay, the Patriots. And the Patriots, and you go, oh, God, you know, there's no insight. There's nothing going to be good about the Patriots.
They find the next Tom Brady.
Yeah. Well, you need more. You know, you need receivers. You just need a whole revamp. Yeah. And to say Alberto's the only one. He's the quarterback. Mm-hmm. He's good. Would you be willing to go there, Alberto? You're number one pick, and that number one pick usually gets good money, right?
Usually.
Yeah. Over the other people's?
Usually.
Like the second round? I mean, the second and third pick? Mm-hmm. Would you go, nah, I'm going to wait. I don't want to play for them. I want to play for the, who do you like, the Panthers or the Chargers? Like Eli Manning.
Yeah.
You would do that? You would stand back? Let's say they're going to offer you millions of dollars to be the Patriots quarterback.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, you know.
But you're playing, you've played your whole life to be an NFL player. Well, you've worked your whole life
people,
to be.
Some people like to want the challenge, some, you know. Just don't want to go places. I mean, you can always do the Bo Jackson thing. He was supposed to be. He got drafted by Tampa Bay, but he didn't play. He sat it out for a year, and waited because I mean there were other reasons. It wasn't just that he didn't want to be in the team. He just. I mean, it's up to the player.
Is he hurt?
Well, what happened with Bo Jackson was, I guess, when he was in Auburn, he was both baseball and football.
Yeah.
So after his senior her last year of football, I guess. Tampa Bay took him out to Tampa Bay because they had the number one pick. I don't know. Something happened. He ended up on the boat with an owner or something. Go back to school. It's baseball season, and he's getting ready for the game. And the NCAA officials come in, like, take him off the team that he violated, you know, the amateur clause. That's something. Jackson thought that Tampa Bay did it on purpose so he wouldn't get hurt playing baseball. So he told Tampa Bay, fuck you. You can draft me. I won't show up. And then I think the next year he got drafted by the Raiders.
Jeez. Yeah, I guess.
Well, I think it's different now, Steve, because these college kids are now making money. So there's not that urgency to I guess no, you can kind of call they, their I, shots because
no, I'm
they're
glad
making
they
money.
Make money. They should make money, I believe, in college because it stops them, for one, doing it illegally because, you know, they got to be – some have scholarships and some don't, you know. It costs money mm-hmm. to
Yeah, it costs
live.
Money to go to school. But most of the kids on a football team like, say, USC, UCLA, most of them are on scholarships.
So they're
getting a free ride anyway. So, I mean –
I know. It's just more of the fact is, you know, like say I was a football player and I made it and I didn't mm-hmm. get drafted by the Chiefs and I'm like, I'm not playing.
Mm-hmm.
And my whole dream was just to make it to the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say the Raiders drafted me.
Mm-hmm.
I would be, goddamn, I made it.
Yeah.
Who knows if I hold out and say somebody takes me and they give me less money and I go, okay, I'm going to get that big money later and I mm-hmm. get hurt the first year and I can never play again.
Right.
And not only did I fuck up, I'm not even going to have no money.
Right? It's a risk. I guess it's a risk. Either way.
I got this message right now that we're over, so we got to go. We're over time. This has been a very good show today. We rarely do this unless it's Christmas. You see what I tell you when we start talking about stuff that gets heated? We get heated.
Yeah. Overtime today?
No, we did overtime. We got to get out of here because our sponsors are not going to pay the bills for this one.
All right.
See, Alberto, we don't have a show next week, so it was okay to go over a little, wouldn't it?
I guess.
We don't have the luxury of telling our sponsorship to take a hike.
Oh, we can't tell.
Yeah, we're not Dana White here. Look, they're cutting Steve off right now.
Oh, God. Here we go. Okay, that's our sponsor right there saying, get the hell off before we cut. Maybe it's the sponsor up on the roof. Fuck these guys, man.
Unbelievable.
All right, Alberto, Eddie, we're off next week for Thanksgiving. We'll
Enjoy
be back
your turkey.
On November 30th.
Enjoy your turkey.
Enjoy your breast. Eat that juicy thing.
Mm. If you like the thigh.
If you like the butt, like I do, that's the first thing I go for when Maggie opens. I smashed my face into the ass of the turkey. Oh, boy.
You're the only one.
You become the stuffing.
I'm the stuffing. All right, guys. Have a good Thanksgiving, and go check out our sponsor, Natural Wonders, and O'Hara's Landscape. It's on our website at them25show.com. You get discounts if you mention our name. Just go to our website. All the info's on there. I don't know if O'Hara's is up yet, but it'll be there soon. But Natural Wonders is. All right, guys, we're going to get out of here. We need to regroup. My throat is all screwed up. I feel like Jay Rin.
Go check out our music.
Oh, yes. I'd like to thank our guest, Jay Rin, for coming on. Go check out our music. Jay Rin Music. JAYRIN. And it's mm-hmm. jrinmusic.com. You can check out all of her stuff there. Okay, guys, we're going to get out of here. We'll see everybody soon.
All right.
Face stupid reality again.